Take back the city for yourself tonight. I'll take back the city for me. Take back the city for yourself tonight. Whoa, whoa.
Welcome to Third Paradigm, an out-of-the-box think tank about community sovereignty and regenerative economics. We look at how to take back our cities, farmland, and water, our money, production, and trade, our media, education, and culture, our religion, and even our God. We present a people's history of the Bible and a parent's view on how to raise giving kids in a taking world. I'm your host, Teresa Caraggio, broadcasting through Free Radio Santa Cruz, WHCL Hamilton College, Radio Lillooet, British Columbia, and Upstart Radio Online.
I love this place enough to have no doubt. Whoa, whoa.
Welcome to the 50th episode of Third Paradigm. Our title this week is A is for Anarchist, the New Indie Student. We're continuing our thread of looking at the educational system and whose interest it serves. Last week, we examined the usurious student loan industry, which makes the predatory mortgage business look like a puny 250-pound sand shark. Wikipedia tells me that sand shark embryos practice intrauterine cannibalism, with the strongest pup eating all other embryos and eggs. This sounds a lot like our smiling banking industry, with the conveyor belt rows of teeth. Even if you dodge the credit card canines and student debt incisors, the mortgage molars are sure to eat you alive. This week, I read a book by Maya Frost on how to get a cheap, stellar global education. It's called The New Global Student, subtitled Skip the SAT, Save Thousands on Tuition, and Get a Truly International Education. In it, she describes how she and her husband kept to a budget of $35,000 for each of their four daughters' kindergarten through bachelor's degree educations. This included all travel, study abroad, tutors, and college expenses. According to Campus Grotto's list of the 100 most expensive colleges, this is 10 grand shy of 1 year at the least expensive option. They saved enough for one education per year by moving to Mexico and then Argentina when all four girls were teenagers. Their oldest daughter spent her junior year of high school in Chile, entered college in Canada at 18 with enough credits to be a junior, graduated at 19, spent a summer on a tropical island working for the Gates Foundation, and is working in Harlem while finishing a master's in urban public health. The next spent a high school year in Brazil, took online college courses while living in Mexico, spent a summer in Germany, did a semester in Canada, and studied Spanish in Argentina. She graduated with honors from an Oregon university and is interning in MTV's international division. The next one studied in Brazil and Argentina and went to a Canadian college while being paid as a teaching assistant and a resident assistant. She'll graduate at 19 and be a multilingual events coordinator on a cruise ship. The youngest has gone to school in Mexico and Argentina and received a scholarship to a private university in upstate New York, with enough credits to be a junior with a TA position. She's 17. Any other parents of teenagers feeling like underachievers? According to Maya, this would be missing the point. There's no need for perfection and no reason to choose someone else's path. What holds kids back is FIGO, a combination of fear and ego. Not theirs, however, yours. As parents, we're afraid of letting go, of not doing enough, of slowing down, falling behind, not structuring their time. We're afraid of taking control and afraid of not having control. She compares fear to a lightning bolt and ego to the outdoor soaking tub we're immersed in. The lightning bolt is enough to zap us, but the ego tub really amps up the charge. She writes, FIGO is the driving force behind the multi-billion-dollar college prep industry. When we let FIGO loose with a credit card, we end up with stacks of college rankings magazines, vocabulary-boosting software, and essay-writing guides. We feverishly sign our kids up for 3-week service experiences abroad that cost $6,000. We are terrified that we might be a bad parent. The culture we're in feeds our FIGO and our kids' expectations. My oldest daughter, Veronica, is a senior in high school. While I'm promoting a self-directed, non-degree-driven education, every other adult is asking her where she's applying to college. Half of her friends regard her with a mixture of pity and envy that her parents aren't pressuring her through the same SAT, AP, GPA intensives and application fever. The other half are relieved that not everyone's going away next year and things can be just like they were in high school. I'm not sure which group depresses her more. Our students need some new strategies for navigating the Scylla and Charybdis of crazy expensive colleges or being a stay-at-home loser. When we come back, we'll look at Maya's exciting and practical suggestions. And then I'll present some ideas of my own, sparked by her out-of-the-box thinking and the recent career fair at Cabrillo, our excellent community college. But first, let's hear a poem that echoes what we have to learn from other cultures, illustrating that we don't even know what we don't know. It's The Silence of the Stars by David Wagoner, followed by a passage from the Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. The music is Explosions in the Sky with 6 days at the Bottom of the Ocean. The Silence of the Stars. When Lawrence van der Post one night in the Kalahari Desert told the Bushmen he couldn't hear the stars singing, they didn't believe him. They looked at him, half smiling. They examined his face to see whether he was joking or deceiving them. Then two of those small men who plant nothing, who have almost nothing to hunt, who live on almost nothing and with no one but themselves, led him away from the crackling thorn scrub fire and stood with him under the night sky and listened. One of them whispered, "Do you not hear them now?" And van der Post listened, not wanting to disbelieve, but had to answer, "No." They walked him slowly, like a sick man, to the small dim circle of firelight and told him they were terribly sorry. And he felt even sorrier for himself and blamed his ancestors for their strange loss of hearing, which was his loss now. On some clear nights, when nearby houses have turned off their visions, when the traffic dwindles, when through streets are between sirens and the jets overhead are between crossings, when the wind is hanging fire in the fir trees and the long-eared owl in the neighboring grove between calls is regarding his own darkness, I look at the stars again as I first did to school myself in the names of constellations and remember my first sense of their terrible distance. I can still hear what I thought at the edge of silence where the inside jokes of my heartbeat, my arterial traffic, the sea above high sea of my inner ear, myself tunelessly humming. But now I know what they are, my fair share of the music of the spheres and clusters of ripening stars, of the songs from the throats of the old gods still tending even tone-deaf creatures through their exiles in the desert. David Wagoner from Traveling Light. Number 74. If you realize that all things change, there is nothing you will try to hold on to. If you aren't afraid of dying, there is nothing you can't achieve. Trying to control the future is like trying to take the master carpenter's place. When you handle the master carpenter's tools, chances are that you'll cut yourself. The Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. The music was Explosions in the Sky with 6 days at the Bottom of the Ocean from The Earth is Not a Cold Dead Place. The poem was The Silence of the Stars by David Wagoner and passage 74 of the Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. I love this passage, which expresses the same sentiment as the Stoic Epictetus, who we quoted last week, or the prayer that embodies the Alcoholics Anonymous practicum in the fewest words. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. We're not the only ones to notice the resemblance between this Christian prayer and the thinking of early Sanskrit, Greek, and Roman philosophers. This has caused theologian Reinhold Niebuhr's claim of authorship to be questioned. But he writes, "Although it may have been spooking around for centuries, I honestly do believe I wrote it myself." How different this pre-Christian prayer is from the advice we give students. We tell them that they can be whatever they want. They just need to know what that is. They should set their sights high and achieve it. Dream big. Be all you can be. Stay the course and don't let anything stop you. You are the master of your own fate. And if you don't achieve your goals, you have no one to blame but yourself. But the Tao says that you don't need to control your circumstances. You have to leave room for the master carpenter to work, trusting the design to reveal itself in time. This is the fine line that Maya's students not only walk, but where they find room to dance, achieving by letting go and being fearless, and going with instead of fighting change. Say yes to opportunities, one student counsels, even if they aren't what you thought you wanted. In the long run, you never know where they might lead. The cost of higher education boxes students in too soon. There's no time to explore it without the ticking time bomb of student debt giving urgency to every deliberation. But we also expect too little from our students in terms of taking responsibility for themselves. We see U.S. campuses as safe extensions of the playground. Even though lax gun laws, college shootings, police brutality, and rape drugs make parents in other countries afraid to send their kids here. How multicultural are U.S. students? Here are some statistics. Less than 1% of college students study abroad for credit. 60% of these are doing doctoral-level research, and 20% are getting their master's. Only 16% of the 1% studying abroad are undergrads. The most common profile is the white female humanities major who goes to Europe. According to the Institute for International Education, most go their junior year, stay less than 8 weeks, and the most popular destination is the UK. This makes the London pub crawl the top total immersion program. 55% of college-bound students say they're fairly certain they'll study abroad before they graduate. Why do 54% change their minds? Let's look at the cost. Universities charge up to $20,000 a semester, sometimes charging room, board, and tuition while they're in another hemisphere. Study abroad coordinators are falling over themselves to attract U.S. college students because we expect education to cost an arm and a leg, and we'll pay for all sorts of extra services because we don't trust people who don't speak English. How embarrassing. Day trips with other Americans in a foreign country is called submarining. Yes, you're immersed, but there's little chance of getting wet. In The New Global Student, Maya Frost develops the concept of the indie student traveler. Her recommendation is go early, go solo, go long, and go deep. High school is the optimal time for catching chronic wanderlust. But the gap year between high school and college is also good. She recommends American Field Service and Youth for Understanding as excellent options, but has chosen Rotary International for their four daughters. There are 1.2 million Rotarians in 33,000 clubs in over 200 countries, and it's cheap, an average of $4,000 including airfare and visas for a full year. Plus, they're committed to humanitarian work on both a local and a global scale, especially in fighting polio. They offer great support before, during, and on the rebound, the reverse culture shock of coming home. Dr. Dennis White specializes in culture shock, working with Peace Corps volunteers, missionaries, and exchange student coordinators. He outlines four phases: the honeymoon period, the irritable, why don't they just speak English stage, the reality check, where you finally resign yourself and buckle down, and true biculturalism. The last is a move from ethnocentrism to ethno-relativism, where you internalize that there really is more than one right way to do something. Experiencing culture shock is a sign of deep immersion and the processing of a life-changing perspective. But what I appreciated most about Maya were her subversive ways to get around the university of usual. The GED? Not just for pregnant prom queens anymore. Want to skip the SATs? Community colleges don't require them and transfer students don't need them. Do the two-step shuffle. Or do a gap year after high school. If you miss the window for travel during high school, check out community colleges. They make it cheaper and easier to transfer the credits. But to make sure they stick for the four-year degree, take some tips from Tara the Transfer Diva. She's the second daughter who rocks at the game she calls Credit Quest. Want to jump on the international job? Become a half-pat, someone who moves in and settles on their own, then applies to the multinational company. Let's break for an old classic that expresses the passion and restlessness of these years. This is Bob Seger with The Fire Inside.
There's a hard moon rising on the streets tonight. There's a reckless feeling in your heart as you head out tonight. Through the concrete canyons to the midtown lights, where the latest neon promises are burning bright. Past the open windows on the darker streets, where unseen angry voices flash and children cry. With the bad designs and the dilettantes with their open minds. You're out on the town, safe in the crowd, ready to go for the ride. Searching the eyes, looking for clues, there's no way you can hide. The fire inside. Well, you've been to the clubs and the disco, where they deal one another from the bottom of a deck of promises. Where the cautious loners and emotional wrecks do an acting stretch as a way to hide the obvious. And the lights go down and they dance real close, and for one brief instant they pretend they're safe and warm. Louder and the mood is gone. The darkness scatters as the lights flash on. They hold one another just a little too long, and they move apart and then move on. On to the street, on to the next, safe in the knowledge that they try. Faking a smile, hiding the pain, never satisfied. The fire inside. To him dress and you listen to him leave like you knew he would. You hear his car pull away in the street, then you move to the door and you lock it when he's gone for good. Then you walk to the window and stare at the moon, riding high and lonesome through a starlit sky. To you, how it all slips away. Youth and beauty are gone one day. No matter what you dream or feel or say, it ends in dust and disarray. Like wind on the plains, sand through the glass, waves rolling in with the tide. Dreams die hard and we watch them erode, but we cannot be denied. The fire inside.
That was Bob Seger with The Fire Inside. The song and video, posted at thirdparadigm.org, powerfully evoke how the passion and idealism of youth are squandered by our culture. The simulation of purpose through sex, drugs, and rock and roll are like empty calories consumed by a bulimic. They don't satisfy and leave them wanting more. The bursting through their skin yearning that could remake the world is being thwarted into the pursuit of sensations, stuff, and self-destruction. But travel can be a journey of the soul as well as the body. Here are some quotes compiled by the website Brave New Traveler. "There are no foreign lands. It is the traveler only who is foreign." Robert Louis Stevenson. "Traveling is a brutality. It forces you to trust strangers and to lose sight of all that familiar comfort of home and friends. You are constantly off balance. Nothing is yours except the essential things. Air, sleep, dreams, the sea, the sky, all things tending towards the eternal, or what we imagine of it." Cesar Pavese. "When we get out of the glass bottle of our ego, and when we escape like the squirrels in the cage of our personality, and get into the forest again, we shall shiver with cold and fright. But things will happen to us so that we don't know ourselves. Cool, unlying life will rush in." D.H. Lawrence. "All journeys have secret destinations of which the traveler is unaware." Martin Buber. "If you reject the food, ignore the customs, fear the religion, and avoid the people, you might better stay at home." James Michener. "To travel is to discover that everyone is wrong about other countries." Aldous Huxley. "When you travel, remember that a foreign country is not designed to make you comfortable. It is designed to make its own people comfortable." Clifton Fadiman. There's another one that my friend Marie, an unrepentant globetrotter, quotes. "Those who share a passion always speak the same language." She was talking about yarn, but the same could be said for anything. Maya demonstrates how to establish personal connections with expats in other countries within 30 minutes on a computer. "But I think that our students could make themselves the most sought-after house guest on the planet in one simple way. Develop some reciprocal skills to say thanks for their room and board." This week, Veronica and I went to the career fair at our community college, Cabrillo. For $29 a credit, you can learn early childhood education. You can attend the culinary school and work at their excellent restaurant. The new Horticulture Center offers classes in permaculture. A world-class jazz teacher offers the same class he teaches at the university. Unlike the university, you can study journalism. What if students developed resumes for what they offer in return for homestays? Music lessons, a garden, building a chicken coop and hatching its first residents, installing a beehive, 4 gourmet meals a week, after-school care, painting and decorating a room, sewing curtains, fixing appliances, fixing computers. If you fix plumbing, you're welcome to live with me. There would need to be some parameters. 10 hours a week of free labor, plus a couple of hours when everyone cleans the house. If you could get free room and board for working only 2 hours a day, wouldn't you do it? We've led our teenage children to believe that it's their job to go to school and get good grades, and our job to make the money, plus cook, clean, maintain, fix, and pay, pay, pay. We don't have to divide into trade school for dummies and colleges for the elite. I want to start a radio station in partnership with Cabrillo, so students can hear Wendell Berry, Michael Pollan, and Raj Patel while hoeing the field or prepping the food. To break out of the servant mentality, we need to take the bull of academic Figo by the horns. Everyone should know how to make themselves useful. They should be making the place they live better for everyone, every day. Doesn't making a fair and equal world also start at home? This has been Teresa Caraggio with Third Paradigm. Thanks to Maya Frost for the new Global Student, which is just the inspiration I needed. Thanks to Skidmark Bob for sound production and to Mike Sirocco for web production. Thanks also to Teresa Dominici for her note of support and offer of help. We go out with another classic travel song, Rome by the B-52s. Check out their trippy video on our website. They definitely put the fun back in dysfunctional. Thanks for listening.